Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Dine Desk podcast. And apologies, we've been a little bit sporadic lately because, well, COVID. Don't have to tell you that. Between getting ready for more distance learning, weird work schedules, and life in general, it's just been a lot this summer. And I think it has for a lot of people. And the truth is, heading back into a school year, if you have kids, has been kind of heavy because a lot of us, most of us, are facing having our kids learning in the living room again, which was certainly not the plan I saw coming down the line. So as we embark on the next round of Dine to Ask podcast, I thought, well, maybe we should go back to what we were doing a couple of months ago in a way and solve some of the issues that are once again starting to crop up for us. So that's what I'm going to do with the next few episodes. And I feel like that's the right thing to do based on one of the latest reviews that came in for the podcast. And thank you for doing that, by the way. Dine to Ask has just exploded in the last couple of months. And I'm not sure what exactly it is, but our downloads are off the charts. And you guys have been sharing the show like crazy, which is super appreciated by me because it takes a lot of the work off my plate. I got enough to do these days. So thanks to the latest review that came in on Apple Podcasts from 26.2 Mom, fellow marathoner, it sounds like. And that person said, thank you for making a podcast that makes me laugh and allows me to learn at the same time. During COVID-19, listening to the podcast has been a bright spot for me, so thank you. No, thank you, because that in one review is exactly what I've been trying to do. So thanks for affirming I'm at least on the right track. It helps. All right, on to today's show, and I'm bringing back somebody who I stalked on Instagram and then had on the show about 5 months ago. Kim Salisbury runs a company called Home Method Co. She is a professional organizer and just hilarious to follow on Insta and her stories especially. And she has made a living out of cleaning up our junk, you know, and getting people organized. And she has worked with everybody from families to celebrities like celebrity chef Kat Cora. She's done her kitchen, and if Kat Cora lets somebody in her kitchen to organize her fridge, you know she's got to be good. And Kim is back today to talk about how to set up a learning space, because with a lot of us doing distance learning, your kids are going to be learning from home, and all the schools are telling us we're doing real school now. It's like going to actually count. We're setting up Zooms all day to make it feel more like a school day. And so our kids need to know that this counts, because let's be honest, I've said that a lot this intro, sorry, but that's where I am right now. Our kids knew a few months ago that things weren't super serious. Maybe because we told them, maybe because they sensed it, but we're going back into a school year where things are going to count. And having a clear, organized space is a fabulous start to getting your kid on track. So all the research shows that when we're organized, it's a lot easier for us to think, it's a lot easier for us to create. And if you're a kid, it's going to be a lot easier to learn. So on this Dine to Ask, Kim Salisbury talks about the power, the positive power of negative space, why chaos usually leads to more stress, how to do a Zoom room, and we'll also talk a little bit about the personal effects that she's had recently. I asked her a question toward the top of the podcast, not knowing what her answer was going to be, not expecting her to say what she said. And it really brought home to me why the way we're living right now is so incredibly difficult and how quickly it can get very personal. And we have a lot of laughs as well. We'll get some personal organizational tips from Kim as well. Talk about some of the trends that she's seeing in personal organizing in the rest of our house, not just our kids' learning spaces. And apparently, each month of the quarantine, she's noticed her clients and customers and Instagram fans getting obsessed with something different. I don't know what that says about us, but I bet Kim does. Here's Kim Salisbury back on the Dine to Ask podcast. My name is Deirdre Fitzpatrick. I'm a TV news anchor, a mom of two boys, a wife, a runner, a total book nerd, and I can't stop asking questions, like ever. I'm obsessed with knowing, how do people do things? How do they go from idea to reality? I call it the art of the follow-through, and these are the questions I'm dying to ask. Kim, I pulled you up on Skype, and it's been 5 months since we did a podcast together.
I know, I can't believe it. I was just thinking yesterday that yesterday was the 13th, which means it's been 5 months exactly. And we did right away, almost as soon as we shut down, we did that podcast.
We did. I reached out to, well, I trolled my Instagram, found some of my faves that I like to follow. And I thought, you know, organization, we need to get organized while we're in quarantine. But who would have thought, like 5 months later, we're still here, basically.
It's so crazy because 5 months ago, all everyone was talking about was purging everything in their house and getting organized. So we had so much to talk about then. And now 5 months later, we're talking about distance learning and how to get ready for school and what to do and where do I put the kids and where's my office going to be. And, you know, I mean, that's all everyone seems to be talking about this week now.
All right. Well, let's take just a breath. And I just want to ask you, how are you? Like, really, how are you? Not the casual, I'm fine, but like, how are you doing? You've done 5 months. I know you did the pivot. You've been doing the virtual work. Then you were able to go back to real work. But how are you doing after 5 months?
It's been a little rough. I'll be honest. This week has been a little bit rough. I was back in home starting in July. I did start going back into homes, and that was going great. I was wearing my mask all day. You know, 8 hours a day in a mask when you're working and you're moving stuff around. And but I was, you know, it was working out. I was wearing a mask. I was wearing my gloves. My clients were either not home or they were staying far away in the other side of the house. So it really was working out, and I was getting a lot of people organized. I was just starting to set up a lot of school and home and you know, home office spaces and distance learning spaces. And I was right in the middle of that, and unfortunately my mom was tested positive for COVID this week. And so because we had seen her last weekend, we are now in full shutdown again.
Oh gosh. How is she doing?
To be tested a few days ago. We're just waiting, but they said it could be anywhere from 13 to 17 days for the results. So until then, I can't go back into home. So I'm kind of circling back to the virtual when we're not talking to doctors and stuff.
Yeah.
But they did send her home from the hospital after 10 days yesterday.
So okay, that's good.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Great. Yeah. So we're just thinking positive thoughts.
Yeah. Well, I'll be thinking them for you. And, you know, that's been the thing about this is, you know, it affects everybody at some level, but now it really has started to affect so many more people in that really personal way, hitting home, quite literally, for the home organization expert. Mm-hmm. Has it changed your perspective on all this?
Hmm?
Has it changed your perspective on all of this?
This week?
Mm-hmm. Just all of it in general. Yeah, I mean,
it absolutely has. There's on a lot of different levels, actually. There's on the one hand, I'm realizing I knew this already, but I think people are realizing just how difficult it is to be in your home and living in your space if you're not organized, mm-hmm. because it just has become chaos. Things have piled up over the last 5 months, and there is such a strong need for me now. And that's why I think I was booking every single day for weeks out, because everyone has said, oh my goodness, we have gotten this far, but now we really need to get this organized, this space organized, or my kids aren't going to succeed. We're not going to be able to succeed working from home. So it's been a strange dynamic. My husband is still here. He's been working from home for 5 months. And then just like I said, in the last month, I've been out again and then coming back in, but, you know, trying to be as careful as I possibly can, because now I am people's homes, but we're not being, you know, we're not going to crowds. We're not going to restaurants. We're not doing things like that. Mm-hmm. So it was my clients for this week were so disappointed when I had to call them on Monday morning and say, I can't come in. I can't come.
Yeah.
And so because it has gotten now so close to us. And so it's just, it's very different than it was last week.
Yeah. It makes sense.
The home, the scarier it is, really.
Well, I'm sorry. And I'm glad your mom is out. And I hope that the worst that comes out of this for you guys is you and your family drive each other crazy. For the next week, you know, which is kind of a given at this point.
Right. I feel like it.
All right. So I feel like when this all started 5 months ago, we all got kind of organization crazy because we were spending more time at home than we had in probably a long time, if ever. But I also feel like in the last couple of months, there's a fatigue that set in and a lot of the creep has happened with the stuff where we're kind of over it. But like you said, now we're looking at distance learning, and now the stakes are higher because we know that if you have organized kids, they tend to be more successful in school, just like people who are organized in the workplace and in the home.
Absolutely true. That is 100% true. In fact, there is a speech that the director of my sophomore's program at McClatchy does every year, and the first thing she says is the organized kids are the ones that are going to succeed, the ones that have the organized binders, the ones that have the folders in the right places. I mean, she really honestly goes, she really talks about that quite a bit in the speech she gives to the parents and the kids, is the more organized they are, the better they will do in this program, the better they will do in school. So just as like when a kid has a totally messy backpack and you never know what's going on. You ever remember that when they were little and you see that
I'm still
the
there.
Are all over? Well, I know I shouldn't say little, right? You mean they're 15, and the papers are just same way with it's the same way with their desk and their space, even if they don't have a desk. So a lot of what I've been talking about this week, and you know what we talked about this morning on the air, was that if they have a clean, clutter-free, quiet space to work, then that's fantastic. If they don't have room in their rooms for desks, then put them in the dining room. You know, I've talked to probably four or five just this week of friends and clients that have completely remodeled their dining rooms, basically, because a lot of people nowadays don't really use the formal dining room anymore. So that's a great example of a space that you can turn into a classroom.
Yeah.
So they are, I've seen people put three or four desks in there. They have the bulletin boards up. I mean, it's just, it's like a little school. Mm-hmm. And people are doing that, you know, again and again. So if we can have, give them a space, wherever the space is in the house, wherever it works for you in your house, it just needs to be their own space. And of course, the earphones or the, you know, the AirPods are going to be so important, because I had a client ask me yesterday, well, I've just set up this classroom, but my kids are right next to each other at the table or at the, you know, the desk area, but they're both going to be on Zooms at the same time. Well, I said, you know, then that is hard, but if they have the earbuds in, maybe that's a solution.
Right. You just got to try different things. I know when I walk into a model home and I see nothing on the counter but like a sunflower or, you know, a book that nobody's read, something like that, I look at it and I'm like, what is the science behind a cleared off space?
Well, I will tell you that, you know, that's my favorite topic, negative space. We talked about this before. Negative space is my favorite thing to talk about. If you can see, like, exactly what you just described was, like, even as you were describing it, it, like, brought kind of a sense of calm to me, thinking of, like, a kitchen counter that's totally cleared, because it gives your eyes a place to rest.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most important aspects of organizing is just having clean, clear surfaces. So the less clutter you see physically with your eyes, the less clutter in your brain, the less, and then it brings the stress level down every time you clear something off of a space.
Okay, so let's talk about this then at different ages. And we're talking about school because it's back to school. But if you don't have kids, we envy the quiet in your house right now, but but this applies to your workspace as well, whether you're back in an office or if you're working out of a place from home. I mean, these are the same concepts, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Of course.
All right. So 100%. Let's talk about the desk. And, you know, you had mentioned I'm talking to you via Skype, so I'm looking at your daughter's bedroom, which is just absolutely adorable. And looks nothing like the one that I grew up in, that had like Tiger Beat pictures all over the wall and all of that.
I know. Well, you know, she does have this little corner over here with all of her stuff.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but you can't see that part right there. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk a little bit about it, starting with the desk. And it does not have to be like a really expensive, fancy desk. And actually, spoiler alert, it's kind of hard to buy a cheap desk right now. So you may need to improvise.
You know, it's interesting because the desk that she has, she's probably had this. We've been in this house 7 years, so she's probably had this 6 or 7 years. And this is from IKEA. This is the Hemnes desk from IKEA. My son has one. My nephew, my niece, every one of my clients, every house I've ever done. And I did a story on it on my Instagram this week. And I've had probably 50 messages from people saying that's sold out at IKEA.
Yeah.
Nobody, you can't get this. You can't get, I had trouble finding this, you know, this little art cart that I put, the little back to school cart that I did for the younger kids that I wanted to talk about. We're going to talk about that on the air because those are sold out everywhere. IKEA sells them, the Container Store. I was able to get a round one, but the other ones you can't get. So you can't, the desk chairs are hard to find. The desks themselves are hard to find. And it's such a shame because this is, like I said, this is probably 6 or 7 years old and we love this desk.
Yeah, but let's be honest, this is going to go on for a while. So things will come back into stock and maybe like down the road, it's something you go to. But you start off with a pretty simple desk. You don't, and it doesn't have to be a big thing. But what are your recommendations? Let's start with the younger kids first.
Okay. The younger kids, I cannot emphasize this enough, how important it is to have drawers in the desk, because little kids have so much stuff. They've got stuff everywhere. The trend in design has been for many years, and especially recently, and I've come across this again and again with clients, and we've really had to go head to head on it, is that everyone wants a nice, clean, just plain desk with the top and the legs, with no drawers, no clutter, nothing. So that's pretty in the picture, but you bring it to your house, and where's all the stuff go?
Yeah.
It all ends up on top of it. So then again, you have the opposite of negative space. So I think especially for the kids, definitely have a desk with drawers. I really like this hutch up here, which is something that kind of sits on top of the desk. It's part of the desk, but and I know that we're just on audio, but you can add so many more things up here on top of the desk, because
And
if
really,
you
what you're
just
talking about
have
is giving things a place to be.
right, exactly, and that's where I think the top of this hutch comes in. So even if you don't have a hutch and you just have a drawer, and you just have drawers, you want to put, like, over here it's empty because this is where the school books are going to go, this is where the textbooks are going to go, and then over here she has her notepads, and then up here what I talked about, each one of these, each different folder up here is for a different subject. So this is first period, second period, history, science, math,
And
French,
then because people
every.
can't see it, I'll just tell you what we're looking
Right.
at. You have like some of those file folding, what do you call those thingies?
Well, they're actually called magazine holder.
Magazine
They're
holders.
magazine
Okay.
holder. Yeah.
So you could use
So
something like magazine holders, but basically you're talking
perfect.
about giving all the different things that you're going to need a place in the desk, whether it's in a drawer where things go, or maybe you have boxes, but having a place for every, like a roadmap. Because kids need to know where things are, which is basically what they have in their desk at school. When they lift the top off, there's a little rail where the pens and pencils go, and they stack things up a certain kind of way.
So that's where the drawer dividers will really help too, within the drawers, is where you can have your pencils and your eraser, especially for the littles. They can have their pens. And but I also really like these rolling carts. If you can get one of these three-tiered rolling carts, they are hard to find right now, but if you can get something like that to put all their supplies in, and they can kind of roll it around the house wherever they're going to be doing their homework too, and that really helps. And for the older kids, I think what I've created in this desk is also a file drawer, which this desk happens to come with a file drawer, but it's always stuff in it before. And this week I decided she's old enough, she's going to be a sophomore, and she's old enough now to have files. And so she's already started putting labelies, like, history notes from first semester and things like that. So for the older kids, really set them up for success. And these files can go with her to college if she needs them. I mean, she's
Absolutely.
not going to bring these, but because all you have to do is take them out. And then put them in one of those little contain, those little, file folding,
Yeah.
little things carry around. And so that I think is, that's going to make a big difference. But really, if wherever their setup is, even if it's not, I mean, ideally you have some sort of a workspace. I think that wherever it is, just make sure the books go here. This is where the pens and pencils go, and the rulers and the, protractors and whatever you need. And then this is where the paper is. And so if there's a way to just kind of, wherever your space is, just make sure that that space is organized. And ideally, and I think this is going to be really important, the dining room table is what a lot of people are using. But if they have to clear their workspace every night for dinner and then bring it back, that's going to make it, I think, a little bit more chaotic for the kids. So even if you could just give them maybe a corner of the dining room table, and then you eat on the other. So because they really, the consistency is so important for kids, especially the young ones, to be able to know what's going to happen every single day, because the chaos is what causes the stress. So if they know that their day can kind of mimic a school day, and you have this many hours in the morning, and then you have lunch, and then you have outside time, however your family's going to do it, if their school space can be stable and it stays there, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
Does that
no,
make
I
sense?
think that is such a great point. And I like hearing you say that because it validates a decision we made in my house. Distance learning was not great for us. It didn't go well. We had the kids in their bedrooms. I was working down in the kitchen with a TV set up. And honestly, it was kind of a hot mess. And in my mind, we're doing this a couple months. We hit the reset in August. Well, here we are in August. There is no reset. The reset is we're blowing up our lives again, and that's the way it is. But we made the
Right.
decision that we had to change where we did things because what I found was I had kids who were rolling out of bed, staying in jammies and then not in a school mode because it didn't feel like school to them. So we made the decision to move them into a public place, just at least so they feel like they're going somewhere different. And the bedroom could still be a place to go hang out and sleep. It didn't have to feel that way. We didn't have a ton of space to do that, but we're going to at least give that a try and hope that mentally that plugs everybody in a different kind of way.
I think that sounds amazing, and that's exactly what
it's good on paper.
No. I tell you, well, I mean, I'm going to have to send you this photo of my friend who lived, like, everything from the dining room came out, and then she bought like all the furniture like off Craigslist, and she painted it, and she has this big, beautiful, big table in the middle with the chairs. I mean, the entire room looks like a school, and I'm seeing over and over and over again people doing that. So what space did you choose? Did you choose the dining room?
So we have we had a guest room. So one, we made sure it didn't really feel like a guest room, and we just moved his desk in there. So the high schooler is going in there. And then my younger one is coming into the living room because he needs eyeballs on him. He's 11.
He does.
And I think,
you're saying that.
Yeah, I mean, he needs eyeballs, and those eyeballs will be my eyeballs. So he's going to be very close to me, and I'm going to be working TV around him. And, you know, it is what it is. We'll see how it's going to go.
I'm hearing that a lot. Mine's 11 also. My son is 11 and my daughter's 15. She's going to be a sophomore. But so I think our kids are almost the exact same age. My 11-year-old, we're lucky enough that he seems to be okay, you know, in his room. He was okay in the spring with his Zooms and stuff. The room, our house is pretty small, so the rooms are pretty close to the kitchen and where we are. They're not very far away. What I have heard is, people that have large houses with the kids upstairs in their rooms, that wasn't very successful in the spring either. So they can be, like you said, with the eyeballs. I have a lot of clients and friends who have to sit right next to their younger ones during the whole process. And so you have to be on television, so you can have one eye on the one eye on the camera and one eye on
what could go wrong.
What could go wrong with that? That would be, and then you have dogs. I mean, it's gonna be great.
Yeah,
it's going to be very successful. I can feel it. It's just going to be great. It's going to be great. We're all just doing the best we can.
Yeah, we are.
We're trying to work. We're trying to get through the day. Everyone is just trying to get through the day. And I really feel that with this distance learning, I feel so strongly that they have their own space. And so I love to hear you say that you've made the guest room into a schoolroom, because more and more and more this week, people are taking corners and nooks of the house and they're setting it up for them. They're calling, my friend the other day called it the Zoom room. I thought that was so funny.
It's so cute.
Because that's what it is. It's a Zoom room.
Yeah.
And so I just thought that was so clever. But it is, it's just so important to give them a sense of stability and a sense of consistency.
Well, and we're creatures of habit. And even if we have a small space, there is something to having your own space. And I remember going into the workforce and getting my first cubicle and thinking that was amazing. I had a cubicle, you know, and now I'm like, I have a cubicle. Wish I had a door, you know, but there's something about knowing that, like, you know, where your pen is. This is where your paper is. This is your place to sit, create, learn, explore. And for our kids, this is their classroom, whether you like it or not.
And I think that's absolutely true. There is something about just having the ownership of this is your space. And that's where, and I think that that has, you know, also talking to those of you without kids, I think it's the same way with your working from home situation. And we talked about this earlier, but my husband, we luckily have a converted garage, and so it already had heat and air and everything in there. So and he, you know, in the beginning of March, he ordered a desk, he built it himself, he got the monitors, he set them up, he, you know, got himself a mouse, and he was all good to go. And 5 months later, he's still in the garage. But what's funny is that while being in the garage for 5 months, he's now changed out the floor, he got a new couch for in there, you know, because when you are in that space for so long, you have to make it your own. So he's really kind of made the garage his own, and that's his office now. I mean, it is really, honestly, his office. And his company is saying they're not even talking about going back in until the first, they're not even going to have conversations until after the first of the year. So he's there for a while. And so guy who's been leaving every morning at 6 and coming home at 7 since the day I met him, you know, for 20 years. So he, it was a huge transition. But so those of us that are working from home, we are lucky enough, we don't have a guest room, but we do have a dedicated office. So I got the office in the house, and then he's in the garage and the kids are in their room, and we don't really have an option. We don't have another space.
Right.
To you know, set up school. Otherwise, we wouldn't have any place to eat. So we can't use the dining room table. So,
but you have each carved out your own space, looking at what you have and figuring out right. the best way to make use of what you do have right now.
Right. And I think that that's all really the best any of us. We are, like I said, we are all doing the best that we can. And I also think it's important to give yourself a break, because there's so, I've been getting so many calls. This has been my back to school week on, you know, on Instagram and everything I've been talking about all week, but I'm sharing videos and, you know, and tips and just trying to share as much as I can to help people get ready. Cause there's people that are already in school. My children still have 3 weeks. Do yours, when do you guys
mine
start?
Go back? The week this publishes, my kids will be back. At least one of them will be, and then the other one is starting high school, so he'll be back a few days after that.
Right. So we don't start till September 3rd. So from where we are today when we're recording this, mm-hmm. we still have 3 weeks. But in that time, I feel like we're just going to, I feel lucky that mine are set up and we're ready here. So I just really want to help as many people as I can get settled so they don't have the added stress of, oh my gosh, we're not ready. We're not ready for distance learning, because in the spring, no one was ready. Right. We only had 24 hours to adjust, or 12 hours or 5 seconds really to adjust. Oh, but now we've had all this time, and our school system told us over a month ago that we weren't going back. A lot of people are going, maybe I'm going, maybe I'm not, but I would imagine pretty soon everyone is going to be home. That's just my guess. I don't know.
I think most of us are, I don't know anybody who's starting in school. I think most of us are starting at home. And depending on where you are in different parts of the country, you may be doing kind of a hybrid of the two. So I think the information stands, because we just don't know what's going to happen. So, prepare for the worst and be happy when the best happens, how I look at it.
Exactly. Yeah. I've been surprised at how many people I've talked to. And, you know, through Instagram, I talk to people, you know, all across the country. And someone talked to me from Finland the other day, and I had a message from Australia. So the kids that have gone back, I was surprised to hear how many are going back full time across the country mm-hmm. that are already back in full time every day. But what I'm seeing is that, and what we're all seeing is that, I'm not sure how long that's going to last.
Yeah.
Because it's like one after the other, the schools are shutting down again. So maybe they're going to give it a shot. Maybe it won't last. I don't know. But I think that it stands. Because even if there's a hybrid, even if you are going to school some days and coming back some days, the days that you're home, you still need a space.
Yeah.
Right.
No, that's true. Well, that's great school info. What are the trends in just the personal in personal organizing? What are we 5 months after this all started? What are we like wanting to still get through?
Oh, my gosh. But it's funny that you asked that, because there's been every month almost there's been something different. And last month, I'll tell you, it was all about refrigerator organization. It's all anybody could talk about was organizing their fridge. And I think that it's funny, because you would have thought that like the pantries and stuff were really popular in the beginning of quarantine. In the very beginning, it was more like purge everything I own. And then it was like people were getting more specific into pantries, and pantries were trending. And it was so important having all the cute containers and decanting everything. You know, we talked about decanting,
yeah.
you know. Flour into the containers with the airtight seal. And then just up until right before back to school started, it was all about fridge. So, I mean, I cannot tell you how many fridges I've organized and how many videos I've done about that. So, I mean, the fridge organization, and I think that because I don't know if people are just kind of looking forward to the fall where we're going to be home more and cooking more, but when people are trying not to go to the store and they are overbuying, then the fridge just becomes packed and you can't see what you have. And then a lot of food is spoiling, and the same thing with the pantry. So I just think that it's all about these little, you know, you can put little berries in the special bins and they stack in the fridge, you know. I'm telling you.
Can I tell you something? I'll tell you where that comes from. It comes from people like me looking at your page and going, oh, that's so pretty. I want my raspberries to look like that.
You're so sweet.
Here's
Thank
my
you.
Question, though, because I see that and I'm like, I need to get in on that. But what I always wonder is, like, how do you know how long stuff is good for? Like, how do you track when you bought that stuff?
Oh, you mean as far as the fruit?
Yeah.
Oh, well, the fruit, I mean, there's not like an expiration date on the fruit, even on the, like in the little strawberry package or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You just know when they're, you know, the same thing if you left them in the plastic container they came in or in the bag, you can just tell when they're done.
Okay.
But I honestly I'm sure you saw the stories that I did on my refrigerator, is that there, I think I did that probably 3 weeks ago, and I still have little cherry tomatoes in those containers.
And they're
working. From that shoot. Yeah, and I just had one yesterday. It was amazing. Wow. So I'm telling you, the fruit, those produce bins and the berry bins, and you know, they just keep your produce and your fruits fresh so much longer.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the interesting things about the whole organizational movement that has taken over in the last few years, like in a completely different kind of way, probably because of things like Instagram, is that when you can see your stuff, you save your stuff, yeah. You use your stuff, and it actually is a money saver.
It's 100% a money saver. Sometimes you can just open the fridge door, take a picture, and go to the store. You don't even have to write stuff down because you can see through all the clear containers how many grapes you have, how many strawberries you have. And then I have, you know, a protein bin where you have like the turkey meat and the, you know, the hamburger meat or whatever. And like you can see what's in there. And I mean, it's really, you can see right through, especially the more clear containers you put in the fridge and the packaging, you know, get rid of all the packaging and you can see what you have. And to circle back to your question about the expiration, if there's ever a question on something when you get rid of packaging and put it in a clear container, mm-hmm. you just take a little bit of blue painter's tape, write the date with a Sharpie and put it on the bottom of the bin.
Eggs. That's one that had occurred to me.
Yeah,
same thing, right?
That's what I do with my eggs. Is you take the little, you put them in the egg bin, and then what I do is the older ones. You know, if I bring home a thing of eggs and I open up my 18 container egg thing, then the older ones go right to the front, and then but then you still turn it over and put the little piece of tape on the bottom of it, and you can always check if the eggs have gone if the eggs are gone past. Prime.
You know how I know that I'm getting older is that a conversation about fresh eggs is fascinating to me.
It's not hilarious. I could talk about this all day long.
I know
all
you could.
So funny. I think we're all getting older.
Oh, I'm sure. COVID years were like 1,000 years old at this point.
Right? It's so true. This 5 months might well have been 5 years. I mean, it is just such crazy times, but I just appreciate that people still love to talk about this. It's just been a funny 5 months from the last time that we talked on the podcast that the amount of focus that's been put on organizing is like nothing I've ever seen before.
Yeah.
I mean, my industry is growing and growing, growing every day, but for, you know, but compared to where I started 10 years ago, where no one even knew what a professional organizer was, but now it's become so popular. And I think a big part of that is because we are at home all the time now. And so really, you're really realizing that the space, it's less about the stuff and it's about how to organize what you have. It's less about bringing more in, because I think something else that you asked me how the quarantine has affected me. Another thing, for the first, I think, 2 or 3 months, I mean, I didn't go to Target, I think, at all for 3 months. So, or maybe it was 2.5 months.
And then I missed you.
I know, probably did, right? But it's right down the street. I used to go like 4 days a week, right? But you know what I found? I didn't really miss it. I really did. I honestly did miss it because we weren't going to sport events. We weren't going to, you know, school stuff. We didn't have anything that we had to go to and buy stuff for, right? But the point is, I guess, is that I've realized how little we really need. I mean, I'm not a minimalist by any means, but we really need such little amount of stuff. We don't need that much stuff. What is the most important is our health and our, you know, and our happiness and education and work and keeping the house in order. But the stuff that people shop for all the time, I think it's a way to kind of fill the time, fill the emptiness. Like, I think the online shopping has probably... I have some clients that I worry about a little bit sometimes with the quarantine about their online shopping, because they're just kind of filling the time,
mm-hmm.
and there is more stuff coming in. And then that time period where I have been back at work the last month or so, I've been seeing boxes that are just piled and piled and piled and piled.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And so the amount of stuff I've seen come into clients' houses in the last 5 months since I was there in March, that is a little bit. You know, it's a little bit telling to mm-hmm. people they're kind of trying to fill the void with shopping and bringing in more stuff.
Yeah.
And
there's another way to look at that, though. Job security.
Right. Well, that's the truth. Yeah, absolutely. That's so true. I feel like I'm never getting, you know, my job's pretty well here. I'm not going anywhere.
I think so. Yeah. Okay. So personal question, and I have no idea how you're going to answer it, but Have your career goals changed since all this started? Because I feel like I have seen you just explode in social places, especially as you've like been communicating with people. But I'm curious, like, what do you want to do with this? Do you have like different goals?
I do. Well, yeah. I mean, you'll be the first to know. I mean, no, I haven't done it yet, but I do. Yes, of course. I have a book in my head that is something that I look back at the last 5 months now and say, how did I not get started on that yet? But mm-hmm. I've been doing so much online. I've been doing so much virtual consultations, which do take a little bit more time because then you have to source the product and then send them the list as opposed to just going to the store and going in there. So I have been doing a lot more of that. I would like to start an online class. I feel like I have so much information to share, and I think that seems to be trending in my industry, that people mm-hmm. are starting.
It's trending in a lot of industries right now. Yeah.
In fact, I just read somewhere that upward of 90% of learning is going to be the online classes, and that's where the income is going to be for a lot of different industries. So I thought that was really interesting. But yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, the book is my number one priority. I really, really want to get started on that. And then teaching the online classes, I do think that's important. I also, and this is going to sound kind of weird, but I think about this all the time whenever I'm in a house. And I just did a move in right last week for a client who just finished a huge remodel. So I moved everything back in to the house and set up the whole kitchen and, you know, did the pantry and did all of that. And it's so satisfying to be able to go into an empty house, especially either a new build or a new house or right after remodel, because I measured all the drawers, I measured everything came from the Container Store, everything went in, and then they moved in and their kitchen was already set up, which was amazing. But as I was there, I was like, why is this cabinet? Why is the lower cabinet not a pullout drawer? Things like that. So there's so much like thing. I kind of want to hold a class for builders, and this is going to sound so strange. I want to tell them no lower cabinets. Lower cabinets, even if they have to open the cabinet doors, have to open up, they have to be pullout drawers, because otherwise you are on your hands and knees trying reach the 24-inch deep cabinet in the bottom of the kit. It's ridiculous.
I know. I know. It's so funny. It's the way we live now, right? Modern version.
I feel like I want to hold a class for these builders and say, this is what you have to do in all these spaces, because otherwise I'm going to have to come in and fix it for you.
Well, again, job security. Don't fix too much.
That's true. Maybe I don't want them to fix it.
Did you ever watch the show The Nanny? Do you remember that? Super Nanny. That's what it was. Where like Joe Frost would go into houses to like fix families. I'm throwing this out. And if you are somebody who produces TV, you can just like send me a bottle of wine later when you steal this idea. The Organizer. So like they send you into chaos mm-hmm. and you go in to help fix a family. Because it's really about psychology when you go into somebody's space, you know, like the way we hoard
Absolutely.
Or we do things. So whoever takes and steals that idea and then makes Kim super famous, I like red.
Well, you know, I've got a producer, so maybe I will ask her. She does produce for some HGTV and DIY, but I'm going to talk about that. But when we have been talking about that, so I mean, between you and I
it's
and everyone
so,
else, yeah. I have my own show. I mean, that comes before the book, but that's always come before the book, you know. So I've done so much TV. I mean, my goodness, I've been doing TV for 5 or 6 years now, and I would love, love, love. I mean, of course, I would love to have my own.
All right, well, I would watch that show. Just saying.
So sweet. I would love. People tell me that all the time.
Yeah.
Don't understand why you're not on television. I'm like, I am. They're like, you want your own show? So yeah, no, a show like that would be ideal, because, and I do think that's where we're headed, because there's like millions of design shows, but really what needs to, and then, you know, you can design a house as beautifully and you shoot it for a magazine and it'll be the most beautiful house. But once the family moves in with all their stuff, you know, that's what happens. So I 100% agree with you. I think that would be a phenomenal. And I'd be happy to do that. So
yeah.
If anyone
no one actually lives in that model house, but we'd love to visit. That's for sure.
We'd love to visit it. Exactly.
All right. Well, Kim, great ideas. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. What's a good place for people to keep up with you and all the ideas that you're putting out there in the universe these days?
You're so sweet. Well, my website is homemethodco.com, but my Instagram is at homemethodco, and that's where I am all day, every day, on stories and sharing ideas and stuff. So that's the quickest place to find me. But my website, where all my information about the business is homemethodco.com.
Okay, I'm going to throw one more thing on your to-do list. I think you really need to get on the podcast idea, too, because you talked about this months ago when I first connected with you.
I know the microphone is sitting in my office.
Well, it's not going to, it's not going to talk on its own.
It is on my desk. And I have been saying, literally, I was going to start a podcast for the last 5 months. And now I keep thinking, I'm just going to work through the summer as much as I can. And then the fall, when we go back to shelter in place, because I just have this vision of what the fall and the winter is going to look like. And I don't know if I'm right, but I have a feeling we might end up back in shelter in place. I don't know. But there's no way to know. But I just keep thinking, well, I'm going to do that then. But in the meantime, I've just been working as much as I can the last month.
Okay.
But now,
planning on time from a shelter in place is not a good plan.
No.
We're not doing that.
It's not a good plan. No. You are correct. And I promise to get started on the podcast.
I think that I have
over 10 years of experience in this industry, and I have so much to share. And I do really think that people need to hear a lot of what I have to say. I'm a little bit bossy, but you know, listen, some people need that. And it's, you know, we talked about that last time. You know, my degree is in psychology, so having that background in psychology and so much of what I do is counseling and organizing. So I think it would be a great podcast. You're right. I'm going to do it. I promise.
All right. Quarantine goals. We're going to do it. Kim, thank you so much. And health to your family. Thanks, thinking about your mom. And I hope everything comes out clear for all you guys.
Me too. Thanks so much.
You bet. Kim and I continue to talk for another 20 minutes about all the things and about just, you know, kind of where we both are right now. And it's not easy for anyone. And I always tell people that these days. I had a colleague who said, oh, it's not as bad for me because I don't have kids. I watch you guys with kids and I don't have it as bad. And I stopped her and I told her, no. We all have our thing. And some things are bigger things than others, but they're our thing, and it's okay to be struggling with it. So a big thanks to people like Kim Salisbury for sharing their knowledge of how we can maybe make some little tweaks in our life and make things a little bit better. If you would like to let me know about what you need help with, maybe suggest a type of guest you'd like to hear from, you can always DM me on Instagram. You can find me at Run Read Sip. Or you can always email me if you want to. You can find me at dfitzpatrick@hearst.com. Although, truthfully, Instagram's way easier to find you on these days. I get so many emails. And thank you again. I mentioned this at the top of the show, but thanks to everybody who has been leaving those reviews on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening to this podcast right now. That is the quickest way to grow podcasts. And for me, it's kind of the only way right now because I don't have time. I don't have time to be promoting it the way I used to. There's too much to do right now. And I got to go back to homeschooling. I teach sixth grade and freshman kids now. How exciting is that? Try not to be jealous. Anyway, thanks for listening this week. We'll see you next time on Dying to Ask.